From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick and his former chief of staff Christine Beattie are being arraigned today. Charges include perjury, obstruction of justice, and other federal crimes. The pair turned themselves in yesterday afternoon. The two sent each other racy text messages on city-issued cell phones. Then they denied their alleged romance under oath in a whistleblower lawsuit. That settlement cost taxpayers $8.4 million. The Detroit City Council and others are calling for Kilpatrick's resignation. If Kilpatrick is convicted, a city charter would force him out of office. Still, he says he won't resign and he'll fight the charges in court. As Detroit digs deeper into the scandal, how is the city and its community reacting? In just a few minutes, we'll talk to a community leader there. But joining me first is M.L. Elric of the Detroit Free Press. He's one of the two reporters who uncovered the documents with the racy text messages. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, Farai.
So the mayor's being arraigned today. What's next for him in legal terms?
Well, after he's arraigned, he'll probably be required to post a bond. I expect they'll let him go on personal recognizance, and then they'll schedule a preliminary examination. That's a procedure where the prosecutor will go and provide some evidence. They won't put on the whole case, but they'll show a judge what they expect to put on at a trial if it goes that far. And the purpose there is they need to convince the judge that they have enough evidence to basically inconvenience this man with a trial. Judges typically do go through these preliminary examinations and say there's something here for a jury to decide, in which case the man would be bound over for trial, and then we'd get through the whole pretrial motions, jury selection, and all that, which will send him right on his way into the criminal justice system.
You've watched this story unfold. You've helped unpack this story. How have citizens' attitudes about the mayor changed since he took office?
Well, my partner Jim Schaefer and I have been exposing wrongdoing by the mayor for years. Misuse of the city credit card, elaborate spending on this petty cash fund, trips, things like that. But people didn't like it, but for the most part they tolerated it. Now I think they've had enough. The mayor ran for re-election in 2005. His first campaign commercial asked for people to forgive him. He apologized. Totally unprecedented and a very difficult decision for him to make. I think people were willing to give him a break, were willing to say that this is a young man who's going to make mistakes and is going to grow. But I think what they've decided now is that he's not growing and he's got to be going.
Now, how does his behavior compare to other Detroit politicians and mayors? This is not exactly unprecedented, unfortunately.
Well, you know, in Detroit, we've had a lot of controversy with our Mayor Coleman Young, who was in office for a long time. There were lots of investigations. Nothing ever came of them. The previous mayor, Dennis Sartre, had 8 fairly uneventful years. But with Kilpatrick, it's been, as he put it himself in his State of the City address, a roller coaster ride. This mayor is the first one in Detroit's history to ever be charged with a crime while in office. You're talking about a 300-year history. So this is, you know, Halley's Comet comes by more often than this happens. But we've had mayors in the past who have had trouble, who have been investigated, but nothing compares to what we're going through right now.
You mentioned that the mayor, you know, is a young man. I mean, 38 years old is young for the mayor of a major city. And people have wanted to give him slack. But at this point, has the tide turned and have people just said, you know what, we're done? Is this also hurting the morale of the city?
Well, you know, Detroit feels like it's on an upswing right now. We've got a lot of good things going on in the city, from our sports team to developments downtown. And we have a national reputation. It's hard to get past that. And frankly, one of the concerns Detroiters have is, are people going to see Detroit in the same light as they see the mayor? And right now, I think there's a general feeling in Detroit that we do not want to be dragged down as we're surging with everything that's going on around this mayor.
Now, if convicted, Kilpatrick would be expelled from office and could face up to 15 years in prison. To the extent that you have a sense of it, does it seem as if the punishments could get that harsh?
Well, it seems unlikely that he would serve 15 years in prison, but the prosecutor told the Free Press yesterday in an exclusive interview that we have on Freep.com that she will not be satisfied if he resigns. He basically can't pull a Spitzer, I guess you'd say.
And avoid prosecution by stepping down.
That's right.
Now, the text messages that Kilpatrick and Beattie exchanged could be a key, you know, note for the prosecution. Kilpatrick's attorney has already said he'll try to keep the text from being introduced as evidence. Do you think really that that is possible?
Well, there's some discussion as to whether or not these text messages are admissible. Clearly, the prosecutor feels that they are. We've had judges rule that they can be delivered by subpoena, so they don't seem to see a problem with it. And just politically, one of the problems the mayor is going to have is that he doesn't seem to be denying that they're accurate. He just seems to be trying to take them out of the mix. In other words, if I can't win on the evidence, let's get rid of the evidence.
All right, ML, thanks so much.
It's my pleasure.
ML Elric is a reporter for the Detroit Free Press. He joined us by phone from the 36th District Courthouse in downtown Detroit. Now we turn to Bertram Marks to talk about how the scandal is affecting the Detroit community. He's an attorney for the Council of Baptist Pastors for Detroit and Vicinity. Thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let me start out by noting that someone gave me a call. One of our listeners from Detroit gave me a call and said that he thought that on our show, as in many other venues, that this mayor was not getting a fair shake. Are there a lot of people who believe that this is an unwanted prosecution or persecution of the mayor?
I couldn't say that a lot of people believe that. And let me just say this. What I know about the local affiliate here, if I can call it that, this is probably one of the most balanced and fair forums that you're going to get. And so I think it's a bit disingenuous to suggest that somehow the press has created the mess we're in right now. I just don't get that from a majority of the people that are talking to the pastors that I represent. I think the feeling is probably better expressed in terms of frustration, in terms of disbelief. There is a willingness to be forgiving. But there's also this notion of accountability. And often when people turn to the faith community, they say, even politicians will often say, well, you're supposed to be forgiving. Yes, the faith community is forgiving, but there's also accountability that is attached to forgiveness. And I think that's where most of the people that we're talking to are expressing. That seems to be their general sentiment. Nobody wants to see this mayor, his family, this city, suffer through this devastating situation. We're hoping that it can be resolved quickly.
When you think about politics today, there's been a spate of people having to face sexual revelations, Spitzer and Patterson in New York, Kilpatrick. But this is not the legal prosecution is not about sex. It's about, you know, lying under oath and questions like that. Nonetheless, you know, as someone who works in the faith community, is sex what's making people pay attention to this, or is it these larger issues of corporate and city governance and propriety? I mean, how are people relating to this, do you think?
There's where we're getting some mixed views. Some people do believe this is a situation that simply involves the mayor and his wife. I don't believe that average citizens have educated themselves on the issues, the deeper issues, the issues that affect his oath of office, the issues that affect his fiduciary responsibility as it relates to being the mayor. I don't think people are looking at the actions that were taken relative to the police officers who were discharged and why they were discharged. If people would look at those issues, I think they'd probably formulate different opinions. But it would be disingenuous for me not to say that absolutely. We have heard from some of our constituents that, you know, this is a private affair of the mayor's. Why is the press digging into this? These sexual revelations, this would be a non-issue.
Do you believe that the prosecutor, Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy, is taking on the establishment by pursuing this case?
I don't. What I know about Kim Worthy is that she's a very fair-minded individual, and she's also a very focused individual. I don't think that any of the ramifications of these charges, one way or the other, have influenced what she decided to do. I think she looked at the situation, made an informed judgment, and determined that she had to bring charges. I just don't view her as sort of taking on the establishment. Now, the effect of what she's done is going to reverberate through the establishment. I think that she's ushering in a new era in Detroit politics, one which says that, you know, you got to place a very high value on integrity and on transparency and on being open and honest when communicating with the city. And my hope, my prayer is that the mayor, no matter what happens in this situation, and not just the mayor, but politicians who are coming forward, politicians who are sitting now, get that message that integrity does mean something and honesty is the best policy.
What role, if any, does the faith community have in making sure that as these things unfold, people are in a position to advocate for themselves as citizens and make good decisions?
I think the role of the faith community is critical. And if you look at the faith community's role throughout history, it should be to be a prophetic voice, to be a voice for the voiceless, those who are marginalized, those who seek direction. They should be able to turn to the faith community to find that direction. We are to minimize anger, polarization, anything that seeks to diminish our relationship with one another as human beings. We should be trying to somehow mitigate that. We also have to be willing to speak truth to power, no matter what the situation, no matter what the scenario. What I can say about the Council of Baptist Pastors of Detroit and vicinity is that we have very, very good leadership. I'm very proud of Dr. Oscar King, our president, who has been very deliberate, who has sought to get information, who has continually and consistently sought to gather information so that he can make an informed decision about what he should say and when he should say it to the mayor. He has not been driven by the spotlight. He has not been driven by pressures, both political and public. He has been very deliberate about making an informed decision, and I commend him for that.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Bertram Marks is an attorney for the Council of Baptist Pastors for Detroit and Vicinity. He joined us from the studios of the NPR member station WDET in Detroit. And next, we have Africa Update.